Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, so wonderful to be reunited again. An entire region is glad for your presence.
Since you like to sing so much.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Reunited because we understood.
I don't know the rest.
There's one perfect thing in Pompey, this what it is. We both are so excited because we're reunited. Hey.
You like that, Sean? And why didn't you join in?
He's affecting me. I've become this Joe Stark. Whenever song he's singing in the day, I do it throughout the course of the day. Sean, what's happening?
What was the name of that group, Bob?
Peaches and Herb.
That was terrific, guys.
Peaches and Herb or Herb? Wasn't his name Herb?
Herb.
I don't think it was Herb Brooks in that group, was it?
No.
What do you remember about him, Bob, when he coached the Penguins?
Oh, I loved the... if you saw it, like, in between games or after a game when he was really fired up, he would not hold back. That's what I always liked about him. He reminded me Bob Berry. Do you remember Bob Berry?
Oh, yeah.
What he used to do?
Yeah. Those two guys had two of the three greatest rants in Penguins history,
exactly.
Along with Therrien.
Michael Therrien, yeah. So, yeah.
Herbie lived in a hotel right here in Greentree. I interviewed him in the hotel room.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was walking one day, and J.S. Auban was walking his dog, and Herbie bent down to pet the dog and threw out his back. Did you know that?
That sounds like the territory we're walking in these days.
It really does. The other thing with Herbie is he just wasn't happy with, like, the hockey world at that point. He wasn't cut out for the NHL. Can we agree on that?
No. I mean, you know, the thing that I remember obviously most is the gold medal and all of that. That's the fact that it becomes a movie is pretty amazing. But yeah, I think he wanted more of an opportunity to showcase skating and the, you know, the finesse of the game, the skating of the game.
Remember his opening press conference when he shredded Kevin Constantine? He said, "We're not going to skate backwards anymore, like Peggy Fleming. We're going to move forwards." He just seemed distracted the whole time, Bob.
Yeah, and sadly, the way he died, too, that's another scary thought.
That was. I'll never forget, I used to travel with the team on the plane back then. I swear to you, he was more interested in teaching me the stock market and mutual funds than he was in the games. I've told this story before. They got blown out one night in Ottawa. 6-0, 8-2, I don't know. So we're on the team plane afterward. I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be near the coach or anybody else. He comes and sits next to me with the USA Today money page in hand. And he's like, "Joe, this is," you know, he starts pointing out all these different things right after the game, Bob.
That's terrific. See, those are priceless moments. How many people can say that?
That's true. I mean, that was.
Did he know you were interested in money?
I wasn't. That's the thing. So he was trying to, evangelize me into, you got to get a retirement account going here,
right,
buddy, or you're not going to have any money when you retire. What
very
a man
smart,
he was.
Very smart. Bob. That's a lesson for all young people out there. Get it going early. Save all the money you waste on stupid stuff. Try to put it away and save some.
Bob, guess who's on the line this morning? I don't know why he's not in person. Is he on vacation? Where are you, Tyler Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Oh, you're playing
Kennedy.
Golf. You're in Pittsburgh.
That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
So, at least I was very transparent with this, Tyler, the other day when I was playing. I told Joe, And Austin beforehand, I said, I'm going to be at this event, but I'll call you and I'll put the earbuds in and we'll talk as I play. Are you doing that?
No, I'm actually down in Charleston. My daughter's at a dance competition right now.
Ah.
So, and
by the way, she's a very good dancer. I have to tell you that. I'm glad she didn't take after you there.
I know. She, yeah. If you would have saw me on the dance floor, no one worked harder, but I can't dance. But I was golfing Friday at Neverwood. I went in the rough, and I went to smoke one on 15. I was like 250 yards out. And my hybrid got stuck in the long grass, and I have now I have a real bad sprain on my wrist.
Wow.
And who says golf isn't physical?
I can't. I'm like, my wife's laughing her butt off because she's like, you're the only guy to ever get hurt golfing.
Not true.
No?
No. I messed up a rib once, and I couldn't swing for 2 months.
I've missed 8 months out of my career with torn rib cartilage. I needed to get injections into my hand for a problem. Pulled muscles. You're not the only guy, Tyler.
Yeah, you know what? I feel I'm not a good guy when I'm hurt either, because I felt like I was hurt enough during my career. I thought when I retired that like I was done getting hurt, and that's not the case. You know, I feel like all my old injuries are coming up and I'm just battling. I'm just like getting old and battling.
Well, let's not bury the lead here. One of our favorite shows in the Starkey household of all time is Dance Moms. I know every episode by heart. Softball moms, volleyball moms, and dads, I might add, on both parents, are interesting enough, but there's nothing like Dance Moms. I don't know if you've seen the show. What's the vibe like there with the other parents, Tyler? It has to be interesting.
Definitely very interesting. And my daughter watches Dance Moms religiously. It's like insane. But here, like, I feel like the moms, this is just a quick take. The moms take dance more serious than the dads take hockey.
I agree.
In my, like, when you see, like, I can ask any mom at the convention if they know their daughter's dance, and they know it to a T. They probably know it better than the daughter, which is, like, hilarious, you know? But it's fun. I love watching my daughter compete and, you know, dance in front of other people. It obviously takes a lot of, you know, guts to get up there and dance in front of people. But it's been fun. Like, Charleston's beautiful. We're ditched downtown. It's nice. It's a nice little town, but it's hot. It's like 90 degrees, not much wind, and it's a battle sometimes going for walks.
Now, do you heckle the other contestants?
Come on, Joe.
No, because they have dads too, and I got a bad wrist, and it's my good hand. Yeah, you got to pick your spots, boys. You can't go after guys, especially when you're hurt. You know, you got to find the smallest guy in the crowd.
Bob, did your daughters dance? And did you go to these contests?
Absolutely.
And did you experience the ferocity of the parents?
Not really. I mean, Rosalind Kenneth School of Dance was the place we went, and they were good, big dancers. We had them on our free care fund show that we did for Children's Hospital every year, and they put together dances, and they were really good. And they had some great teachers over there, and it's very competitive. A lot of these dance competitions get very competitive, and you're right, Tyler. They, you know, for young kids especially, to get on stage and do it, especially solos or stuff like that, where you don't have a whole group with you, that's good. It's a good learning experience for all of them.
Yeah, it's solos are pretty, because you can't pass the blame on to anyone, right? It's solely right on you, you know. And so my daughters go to Thomas and.
Yeah, that's where my granddaughters go now. Thomas, I saw you down there.
Yeah.
We just had two recitals.
Really?
Yes.
See, I was never
a dance. Hey, Bob.
What's that?
It's a real treat, right?
How about that? They packed those, but I'll give them credit because back in the day, Tyler, you know, a routine was, okay, they had one day dedicated to everything. So you would be there for 12 hours. You know, now it's changed, and the Thomas School does a good job of kind of breaking it off into two weekends. So at least you're not there, and you know when your kids are going to dance, so you don't have to stay for the whole thing.
Right, and that helps a ton, like a lot. Yeah, it's just right now we're here all day. Like and my daughter does one. She doesn't even do a solo, but she's here all day. It's pretty, it's pretty intense, and it's more of like, for me, I'm like the guy keeping my other two contained. My other two kids, I'm just trying to keep entertained in like a school gym. It's like, it's tough. I got my little TK running up hills in the parking lot, getting some work in for hockey, but it's a lot, you know, and it's a lot different than hockey. It's, you don't travel every weekend. You just go for three big weekends and that's kind of it. And that's your year. So it's been a bit of adjustment getting used to this dance stuff. But what the best thing for me is
doing radio with us to occupy some of your time.
Yeah, 100%. But I can't give my daughters a tip or nothing like that about dance. Even I think my kid likes golf. TK loves golf because I can't give them tips in hockey. He's probably so tipped out or giving him advice and all this stuff. He's just like, Dad, shut up. Or in golf, I'm at Neville Wood asking other dads, like, hey, why is he fluffing the ball? And, you know, you ask any other golf guy what's going on with your swing, you know, they're going to come up and help you out. So it's been interesting not being able to help them in different sports.
You should show up ripped to one of these competitions like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers. Remember that? Bob?
Yes.
Was that his name? What's the actor? Dennis Hopper, right?
I think so, right? Is that right, Sean?
Legendary.
Is that right? I think that's right.
A legendary performance. But let's, before we get to the Stanley Cup final, Tyler, Connor McDavid could be on the market here. He has 1 year left on his deal. All he has to do is say, I'm not going to sign here, and you almost have to trade him unless he's set on going, you know, one more year in Edmonton and then seeing how much money he can make, which he might do in free agency. But just for blanks and giggles here, if you were the Penguins, what would you offer for Connor McDavid?
They can't offer enough. That would never happen.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I would...
10 first rounders and anyone on the team.
How many first rounders?
5 first rounders and anyone on the team.
I was talking today to a couple other people. I would offer 7 first-round picks and anybody they wanted other than Sid.
You're doing
Sid.
The Ricky Williams treatment, huh?
Yeah, anybody they wanted other than Sid and 7 first-round picks is what I would do. It's the best player on the planet, and he's 28 years old, Bob. Now, you'd have to be able to sign him, obviously, to make that make sense. But Bob and Tyler, I mean, this guy could legitimately be on the trade market.
He could be. Tyler, what do you say?
Like, I can't believe the Edmonton Oilers management can't get a better supporting staff around Connor McDavid. When I look at trade deadline, and you have Seth Jones and Marchand that are getting shipped out, I am living on the phone with those GMs. I'm offering them everything and trying to get ahead of Florida. Like, I think Edmonton Oilers would have won if they had Seth Jones and Brad Marchand. Like, I cannot believe that they didn't make those kind of moves and who they went after. Like, what really hurt the Edmonton Oilers was depth. Depth was the whole thing in goaltending. But if you added one more good D to Edmonton, it changes. Now you can go back from Bouchard to, say, a Seth Jones, and now even on the top 4 or top 6, you're going from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and then you come back with a Brad Marchand, who's probably, behind McDavid and Draisaitl, was probably the best player on the ice. Now you can work with that. But when I watched that final game, I was just looking forward to see McDavid and Draisaitl back on the ice because the other guys, they just did not bring enough to the table. And no matter who you are, you can say Connor McDavid, but when you have your top 9 players and your top 4 D-man and a guy like Bobrovsky playing against Connor, they're going to be able to shut him down. You got the whole 6 players on the ice, including the goalie, just trying to stop them. They're giving them the outside. They're clogging up the middle. He was trying so hard, but they were just so good at relieving pressure, clogging up the middle, not giving them much. Like, I felt bad for him. And, you know, I think Connor McDavid's going to have a huge conversation with management and be like, guys, I'm giving you one more year. If we don't pick up some legit players, I'm out of here. I can see what happens with Gretzky. Same thing with Gretzky. Like, and for him to come to the Penguins, I'm just not sure if that's a place where he is high on his list. I think playing with Sidney Crosby is, but
what would be? What would be number one on your list if you were Connor McDavid and it wasn't Edmonton?
L.A. I think they have a young team. I think
they have a good team too.
Yeah,
and they have a good team and
need a superstar like that. And they have a couple who used to be, not anymore. But yeah, that would make sense.
And I think Connor McDavid is not like loves the limelight. I think he likes to sit in the weeds. I don't think he's like this big like social media guy. I think he likes to do his thing and kind of just play hockey. I don't think he's that big face. Like, I don't think he's that bigger in life personality that you're going to get a ton from. And I think when you go to a place like LA, when you leave that rink, you're like anyone else on the street. There's probably 10 more people that have way more money than you walking down the street. So when I went to San Jose, it was unbelievable because we were like the poorest people in San Jose. We were like professional hockey players just because of, you know, the city we were in. And I think a Connor McDavid would thrive with not having that much attention and just playing hockey. And you look at their team, like they had they're a team that beat Edmonton Oilers the first two games. Like they're a team that's up and coming. So I think LA Kings would be a great team for him to go to. I just wonder what the management at the Oilers is going to do, because this summer is a very busy summer for the Edmonton Oilers. And if they don't do something, I can see Connor McDavid leaving the Edmonton Oilers. But the problem is he going to leave without Draisaitl? Him and Draisaitl are the best 1-2 punch since Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this summer.
To your earlier statement, and I agree with this, I think if anything, he could be motivated to tell the people in charge, hey, look what they did and why didn't we do this? For me, when I saw the Marchand trade to Florida, I said, of all people, he fits right into what they do. He's a high-impact player, but he plays that nasty style. They have a lot of that in Florida. This is also a bad time to be around a team like Florida because they just got every component that you would want. But for them to get up those two guys at the trade deadline, kudos to them. They came up with two pieces. That may be the best, Joe, could be the best trade that we've seen at a trade deadline in a decade. What he offered them and what he was able to do in the playoffs, and that doesn't even take into account Seth Jones, who was really another tremendous add for them. So I think this offseason is going to say it. I just don't see him leaving right now. I don't. Unless it gets very ugly. But they went to the finals two straight years. They were close, 7 games last year, you know, and it almost went that way this year. So, I don't know.
But guys, don't you see, guys, like, when I watched his post-game interview after they lost, it didn't seem like he was an emotional and cared and thought he had a chance like the years before. When I watch it was like very interesting because he almost knew they had too strong of a team to compete. Where last year he was losing, he was crying, he was going, boys, we got to go now. This year he was almost like, guys, like this team is like so rock solid from top to bottom and then consistently. Like, didn't you see that in his interviews? Like, it just looked like he knew they were better than they were.
Yeah, that was hard for me to tell, but with an ending like that, you know, maybe he was just numb. You know what I mean? It was clear to me, Tyler, that Florida was the better team throughout. I felt that way going in. That's why I picked them in 6, and frankly, it could have been a sweep or 5. They were that much better. Would you agree?
100%. Like, when you watch just a period, like, you're almost surprised Edmonton won 2 games. Like, when I watch, I'm like, how did Edmonton win 2 games? And if they would have actually started on time in Edmonton, like, they would have probably might have won that game, too. But just, like Florida was so dialed in from start to bottom, it was, like, it was crazy. Like, every line did their job so well. Their energy guys played their energy. Their goalie, like, you want to talk about maybe a Conn Smythe winner? Like, was there a goalie in the playoffs that was more consistent than Bobrovsky? Like, I didn't see it. Like,
if I were Connor McDavid, that's the one thing I would say behind closed doors to my GM. I say, you know what? We have the same disease that Toronto has. We can't have gold. You know, those guys did the best they could, but they're not on the same level. They need goaltending.
And that third goal in the last game when Skinner kicked it off to he kicked it off to Reinhardt and Reinhardt scored. That changed the game. Like, that put the nail in the coffin. That was like unbelievable, and that was like a rookie goalie mistake. That was like a first year goalie. What are you doing? Like, these guys are way too good to give up a rebound.
He has
like
to
that.
Catch that puck and not let a rebound occur.
Exactly. And that's like you said, Bob, like that might be the biggest problem on that team is their goaltending. Their like when you're switching goaltenders in the final, that's a pretty big problem right there.
All right, Tyler, coming up next, you're available for another segment. I'm just assuming that. Am I right?
Yeah, boys, I can talk all day. I got time.
All right.
Time. Did you make a wrong turn there? You had Siri talking to you.
If you would see what's on this guy's my plate right now, it's insane.
All right, we'll talk next about a very interesting add to the Penguins coaching staff and a little bit about the Penguins offseason. Tyler Kennedy brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Well, we got Tyler, and then we have a six-pack. That's the immediate future. And Bob and I have a bunch of different pirate topics, maybe an NBA topic involving a local kid. Mm-hmm. We got Steelers things going on, everything. Six-pack brought to you by Bet365 and Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Bob, if people want to get in touch with Sean, don't call me Seth Myers, or relay a question to us. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you, and you have a message for the Pompulus.
I do, Joe, and this is big news from West Shore Home. You know, for a limited time, you could lock in 4th of July savings. You know, this is the time of year you want to make changes to your home. You know, the rain is going to subside here, hopefully. We're going to see 95-degree temperatures next week, so this could be a great time for you, especially if you're looking to improve your bath, your windows, your doors. Free installation on your new bath, windows, or doors. They also have flexible financing options to make your project even more affordable. But here's the kicker. All you got to do is go to westshorehome.com/fan, and you'll get an extra $500 off your project just for being a listener. So don't wait. This offer will not last. This free installation, great finance options, and $500 at savings, westshorehome.com/fan. See the website for details, but surely make it West Shore Home this summer.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since you like to sing so much.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Reunited because we understood.
I don't know the rest.
There's one perfect thing and Pompey, this what it is. We both are so excited because we're reunited. Hey.
Bob, I thought that sounded pretty good, if you ask me.
And it's funny how this happens. Out of the blue, you had no intention, neither did I, talking about Herb Brooks, but from that spawned a conversation on Herb Brooks because we talked about peaches and Herb. Is it Herb or Herb?
Tyler, did you ever, what did you think of the song, first of all, that Bob and I sang? We haven't done a show in like a month. And then what did you ever run into Herb Brooks over the course of your career?
Yes, I ran into him once, but it was just small talk. Obviously, you hear a lot of stories, great stories about him, but you guys, I thought the radio was still on hearing you guys sing.
It was good.
You guys were in sync. You're feeling it. What was from The Wedding Crasher or The Wedding Singer? You know, when they're singing, you're like a modern day soft.
Bob, should we go on the road?
No. I don't think people would want to watch that.
I actually think they would.
That. No, they wouldn't.
Tyler, there's a new addition to the Penguins coaching staff, and he's also a Stanley Cup hero who engendered this call once upon a time.
I love that. That was back in the day. Oh, man. That was all part of it.
What do you think?
Wow. What a leap of faith for Kyle Dubas to hire Vic Bonino. Like, I thought they were going to have to hire, like, I thought they had to hire someone that's got a lot of experience because they have a rookie coach, a coach has never coached being the head coach of any Stanley Cup team. And then they hire a coach that never, assistant coach has never really coached, which is like unbelievable to me. It's pretty crazy. I don't know if it's the right move. I really don't. I just.
Well, they're not done doing their staff, though. There may be some of those people, and I agree with that assessment that you need somebody who's been on around the block or two just to help out a young coach, somebody new to this business. So I don't know what the rest of the staff looks like, but, you know.
But don't you think you need a veteran guy? Like, can you see Nick Bonino telling Sidney Crosby what route to run? I don't see that happening.
Well, I don't know. I think Nick Bonino has enough knowledge of, don't you, about, you know, his role at the time when he was here with this team and what his role largely was when he was in the NHL. I think he could use those experiences to help younger players, you know. But again, I want to see the rest of the staff here as it's constructed.
Yeah, like, being a former player, like, jumping into the coaching, I think if you – Like Nick, he just retired. I think it's probably good because he can relate to the younger guys. He can relate to the players so well. But it depends. When you say assistant coach, especially now in the NHL, when you look behind the bench, there's like five coaches. There's a head coach. Then there's like the assistant of the assistant, and then the defensive guy. It's crazy to see how many guys are back there. But if he's one of the guys that just grabs guys and kind of like he's the assistant of the assistant, I think that's a good place for him. But if he's like the head assistant, I think it's going to be tough, you know, because this year's a big year. There's going to be a lot of eyes on the Pittsburgh Penguins with what they're doing and everything. So I think this might be...
You getting arrested, Tyler?
Tyler, you made the wrong turn and you ran a red light. We just saw that on your car cam.
Boys.
Therefore, yeah. They're after you. Whatever you do.
I'm out of the car. I'm out of the car. I'm like walking away from that, you know, when everyone starts going crazy. I'm walking away from it. But going back, like, that, there, I just think there's so many eyes on the Penguins that they have to really make the right moves. And there's a lot of pressure on him going there as a first-year assistant coach with a team that hasn't won the playoffs the last 3 years. But if he must have had a pretty good interview if Kyle Dubas hired him. And now, like, again, the pressure is building on Kyle Dubas because he's putting all of his guys in place to where he thinks they're going to win. So if it doesn't go the way he wants it, the hammer's going to come down on Kyle Dubas. So this is a very interesting hire. I love Nick Bonino, but jumping behind the bench, there's a lot more to it than just being a former player.
All right, so if you are Kyle Dubas, and we're talking to Tyler Kennedy here, Stanley Cup champion, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What's your first big off-season move, assuming they're not going to trade for Connor McDavid? What's your first big off-season move, whether it's trying to bring somebody in or getting somebody big out of here? I have a feeling Erik Karlsson might be involved with your answer here, but what is it, Tyler?
Well, I think the biggest move I would make is figuring out the goalie situation, in my opinion. The goal, like, goalies mean so much. And you see in the playoffs, and this year, when you're kicking it back and forth, who's going to be the starter throughout the year, like, that's not a good sign. And that's a sign that needs to be addressed ASAP. So I would be really looking for the best free agent goalie, a goalie where we can maybe trade someone from the Penguins somewhere else to get, just to solidify that top goalie spot. Because that's a big question mark, and it's been like that for a while now for the Penguins.
I also think I want to see an influx of some young players here at some point, and I'm not sure if they're worthy of it or not at this point, but I do want to see more, you know, of these guys that we've heard about come in and play and be, you know, we say this a lot with the Pirates, but I think it's true when you're a team that's not going, and I'm not suggesting the Penguins aren't going anywhere in terms of maybe qualifying for the playoffs, but like the Pirates, when you have an opportunity to give a runway to a guy, like they just brought up Billy Cook, let him play. I want to see if you're going to bring him up, let him play. Same thing is true with some of the Penguins early in the season. I want to see some of these younger guys play. I don't know if that's part of it because, again, Kyle Dubas continues to walk down that line where he still thinks they can do stuff and get into the playoffs and yet develop. That's always a difficult line to walk. So what do you think they should do in that regard?
Well, I think, one, they got to figure out where to put Evgeny Malkin, right? Because do you slot him on the third line now and put a young guy on the second line to give him an opportunity even though you're losing? Because that's where probably Malkin should be right now, is on the third line, being a guy that's going to score 15, 10 to 20 goals this year. Not sure where his scoring production is going to go, especially with where he is and how this summer is, how he's going to do this summer. I think figuring him out and figuring out what to do with some of those veteran guys is a big question. And then when you talk about bringing young guys in, when you look at Wilkes-Barre, like, the talent level in Wilkes-Barre isn't like blowing your socks off. I think you have to look around the league of guys that played in the league for a year or two that you think, wow, if this guy had more opportunity, he can probably score 20. He's just on a really good team, and he's stuck on the third or fourth line. I think you're more looking for those guys this summer than bringing guys up from Wilkes-Barre, because we did bring enough guys up from Wilkes-Barre, and yes, they did well, but are they going to be the future of the Penguins? I don't think so.
Tyler, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the dance competition today. We'll see you in studio next week, unless we golf before then, which I certainly hope we do.
You know what, Bob? You might be down here next year if your granddaughters are up there in Thomas.
Yeah, they're in, right? Thomas. So, they're getting to that point where it's competitive and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, maybe we'll do the show together in Charleston. We'll call Joe.
Yeah, we'll golf.
We'll golf, yeah. They have some good deal. You're close by to Kiowa, you know that. So you just have to go down a little bit. That would be a good road trip, Joe. Kiowa Island.
That was a pretty good way of avoiding the idea that we might golf before next Thursday, Tyler.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, I really sprained my wrist really bad.
That's I forgot about that. Yeah.
See, that's his way of saying, no, Joe, I'm not playing with you.
No, he is injured. Thank you, Tyler.
Tyler, have a good one.
Thanks, boys.
See you, buddy.
Have a great dance competition with the family.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot with storms likely, a high of...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse James, which would be 81. Bob, did your family watch Dance Moms? Your kids?
Probably a little bit. I don't think they were, you know, watching it.
What a great
as
show.
Much as Tyler's kids are, yeah. But I, great, yeah, they watched show. It.
On a separate note, did you see the passing of Pittsburgh hitmaker Lou Christie?
Lou Christie from Moon Township.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that until my wife told me about Lou Christie until I read Scott Mervis's piece this morning. Yeah. What a legend.
We had a caller who wanted Bob to sing some of Lou Christie.
I bet it would be good.
Yeah. I'm terrible with lyrics, Sean. You have to supply me lyrics.
I don't know Lou Christie's work, so I can't help you with that. But
I mean, listen to this. Mervis writes, in the mid-60s, after a six-month interruption of his career to join the Army Reserve, Christie came back to soar over the Beatles, the Stones, and Motown groups to number one on the charts.
Yeah.
With Lightning Strikes, he scored another hit with Rhapsody in the Rain, and then a bunch of others. I'm ignorant to his career, but I read with great interest today. What a legend.
It really was a legend. I think he was 82 years old, and man, when people like that go, I do remember a lot of what he used to do way back when. I know my in-laws were very much into Lou Christie, loved
yeah.
the music, so... But it's funny, you don't, you know, today.
Moon High School graduate.
Moon High School, right.
Incredible, Bob. Wow. All right. So RIP Lou Christie. Where do we go from here, Bob? I know where we go. We go to a six-pack at the top of the hour. But first, I just saw ESPN put out another list, the greatest point guards of all time. Magic, Steph, Oscar Robertson, John Stockton, and Jason Kidd were their top five. With SGA moving up the charts. Is he a true point guard?
I don't think he is a true point guard. He's a shooting guard more than anything else. He's a guy who runs their offense.
Because
like
the game
crazy.
I watched the other night, he didn't bring up the ball one time the whole game.
I think that Sean knows this too. That has changed a little bit. You used to think point guards, they always have the ball distribute. Sort of like when TJ McConnell's in the game, and we should talk about that too as part of the six-pack. Why he didn't play more in that game.
I was outraged, I think he should play
Carlisle
tonight.
Carlisle was terrible decision not to.
Terrible.
Terrible. Only because he was injured and McConnell was hot. The two were working together. And the question would be tonight, are they better off not playing him if he's going to be compromised and forcing him to play when you have a guy like
well,
McConnell?
Well, that's what they did in the fourth quarter the other night.
That's exactly right.
He forced him in there. He rewarded him because, hey, you're never going to get this chance again. Instead of looking at the game in front of him that night, and playing the guy who is healthier and better that they can't guard. And they can guard everybody else at the moment, pretty much Oklahoma City.
Absolutely.
And they stifled them that night, except for TJ.
He went into the lane. He was very good about beating the bigs to the hole. Got, you know, layups as a result. Fadeaway, short jumpers, mid-range.
They don't know what to do with him the whole series.
No, and he's an electric personality for that team. And when he's going that way with 13 points in the third quarter, the last thing you do is take him out of the game to put in Tyrese Halliburton, who's injured.
Yeah, and the other guy, Nembhard.
Nembhard was horrible
in that game. Who are your top five point guards, Bob?
I would have to agree with that list.
Magic, Steph, and Oscar Robertson in order?
Whatever order you want to put in. I would put Magic probably first, Oscar second, Steph third.
I think
people forget about Oscar Robertson and what he did.
I put Steph first, and it took a lot for me to do that over Magic, my all-time favorite player. Everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark. We had a We had a brief segment on that yesterday. Just ridiculous what that – it's part entertaining and it's part just basketball. And then when somebody like Marina Mabry can take a blindside shot at her and not get reprimanded in the game and not get suspended after the game, you have to ask yourself, what the hell are you doing, WNBA? And I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, if I'm the Indiana Fever, now they're probably not in position and standings to do this right now, I start picking some cities that go from 5,000 to 20,000 or 40,000 when Caitlin Clark comes to town.
And
I say, guess who's not playing tonight? That's what I say.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you've personally gone through this, haven't you? Were you trying to buy tickets? When she didn't play, the tickets plummeted in price.
Yes.
When she did play, they soared in price. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. It's not just what happened in the last game. It's been happening, especially last year in a rookie season, taking unnecessary hits. I mean, it was like it's like a football game out there. That's, you know.
I mean, some of it, Bob, is just basketball. A lot of it, to me, is just basketball.
Sidney Crosby went through it.
But it's become, you know, jealousy.
It's total jealousy, I think.
And what Mabry did the other night, I thought was the worst thing that's happened yet. I mean, what are we doing here? A blindside shot where you knock her to the floor?
And that's one thing, if she does it, it's another thing not to penalize it in any way. And they didn't. And so bottom line is, she's bringing in a lot of money to the league. And people can dispute that all they want.
There's nobody disputing that she has.
And because of her range, she's a Steph Curry type, and people love to see that. And I think some of those girls are jealous of it by you know, just because she can do stuff that they can't do.
I asked Sean Gentile, who's a wonderful man, Bob. Have you met him?
Mm-hmm. Sean's a very good, good writer too.
You like him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. He looks older than he did. Would you agree with that? I guess we all do.
I haven't seen him in a long time, so we all look older day by day.
Right. I hadn't really seen him.
Although you're dropping weight, you look younger.
Yeah, I'm getting younger. Peter Pan syndrome. We agreed, I think we did anyway, I posited that other than Tiger Woods, and golf was pretty popular before Tiger came along, but other than him, and maybe even including him, I have never seen one person in American sports transform their sport from a viewership, ticket buying, media, all of that, everything, than Caitlin Clark. Never, ever in my life. You?
No.
Tiger's the closest thing.
Yeah. I mean, Arnold way back when, but that was a whole different kind of situation. But Tiger Woods brought a lot of interest, a lot of money. There were jealousies on that tour also because Tiger Woods was getting all of the – well, he won it. He earned it. And so those players, I think, eventually wised up and understood he's carrying us to different purses that became bigger paychecks, bigger sponsorships. Tiger Woods was that person.
Yeah.
He was that tide that rises all of us up. And I think in this case, it's clear that Caitlin Clark did stuff that was – no matter how they marketed that league, she's brought more attention, more media –
Money, millions
all of it.
and millions of dollars.
And yet, because of it, she's kind of targeted at times.
Right.
Some of those are good basketball players, don't get me wrong. But when it goes over the line, I thought specifically last year it went over the line quite a bit.
See, I thought the other night was the worst of all. But the first girl who scraped her across the face.
I mean, that happens.
No, I thought that was intentional.
No, she
wasn't going for the ball.
I can't prove that. All I know is I've seen guys get scraped in
the
face.
And then she's checking her eye. She shoved the girl, then checking her eye, and then Mabry comes in blindside.
Right.
Blindside and smashes her to the ground. And people are like, you know, that wasn't a big deal. Some of it, Bob, you're right, is just it's you know, jealousy.
Remember
when Sid came into the league?
Yeah, and
listen, everybody was out to get him. It was the same thing. It's the new thing.
You think you get all the attention.
Clean
and what have
cut,
you done?
Right. It's everybody wanted a piece of him.
Yeah.
And so part of it is you do have to prove yourself. I think she's done that. I think we should be beyond that. Yeah. And I think the league should be protecting her better.
Do you think maybe the Williams sisters were kind of similar in this scenario when they were breaking into tennis in a big way?
Absolutely.
I definitely agree with that.
Just dominating, completely taking over a sport, And yeah, I think it's a syndrome across sports.
What's wrong if you're a player in that sport of understanding this is good for business and all of our business?
Right. Of course, the difference in that sport is nobody jumps over the net and swings a racket at your head, right? I mean, in this sport,
hopefully
you can,
not.
You can physically abuse people.
No, but you can see jealousy. You can see
it. For sure.
And you saw it there. And so be wise enough to understand it's good for everyone. And because of it, you're making more money. And because of it, you travel differently. Because of it, more eyes are on your entire league because of one person. That doesn't mean you let her off the hook, and if you have a chance to make a foul or you know, clamp down on her, you do that.
That's just basketball.
Right, but when you go over the line, and there have been too many examples of that, then it's just simply stupid and jealousy.
Bob, let's get to the six-pack. There was a Pirates lineup that appeared last night. They didn't play the game. But like a UFO, like the Loch Ness Monster, this horrifying thing appeared last night on social media. And those of us who actually witnessed it, people may not believe it for generations to come. We may have to do a docuseries called The Tommy Pham Files. I saw that lineup that was going to go on the field last night and go against maybe the best pitcher in baseball if Paul Skeens isn't, and it's Tarek Skubal. This was the lineup they were going to put out last night in year 6 of the Ben Cherington regime. And I realized that they were shielding O'Neill Cruz from Skubal, so he wasn't playing. Reynolds is on paternity leave. He's been horrible anyway. And Spencer Horwitz was missing, but that's the case even when he's in the lineup, Bob. So don't tell me that certain players were missing. This was the lineup. A lineup that I saw, and I swear I saw it, on social media. You ready for this, Bob?
I saw it, but go
right
ahead.
For it?
For those who didn't see it, should see it.
From top to bottom, Nick Gonzalez, Andrew McCutchen, Joey Bart in the three-hole, Canario, Hayes, Kiner Falefa, Triolo, Tommy freaking Pham, and Billy Cook. Oh, my God.
And Tarek Skubal may have no-hit that line.
At least. Probably a perfect game. As I wrote in the Post-Gazette this morning, I honestly believe this, that lineup, regardless of who was in or out, was in and of itself a fireable offense on Ben Cherington. If Bob Nutting lineup,
the manager has nothing to do with it other than he has only what he has.
He should have text-fired Ben Cherington as soon as he saw that. I've said I'll keep an open mind with Cherington, but all the guys I have an open mind on still aren't performing, and I don't have a lot of hope. Can we talk about this next, Bob?
Sure. We should talk about
it. You saw it, too? You saw that lineup?
I said it was a good thing they didn't play, but I wonder if it's going to be the same lineup that we see today.
So we both saw the Loch Ness Monster. That might have been the worst lineup in baseball history.
Well, that's a big statement. I have to go back.
The worst in Pirate history. Well,
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.